AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello friends, and welcome to your very first Ipswich Town Kings of Anglia podcast of 2023. It's good to be back with you. I am Mark Heath, with me the two best kings, Andy Warren and Roscoe the prospect, Ross Halls, today. Friends, first of all, I have to start this first show of 2023 with an apology for not doing a show last week over the Twixmas period. We had originally intended to do one, of course, being as games come thick and fast. But unfortunately, Christmas, time off, games, it just meant there were never enough of us together to be able to record a show. So that's our bad. But hopefully, friends, you didn't miss us too much. There was a Christmas special to get stuck into. There was a Tracticals talk as well. And now, friends, we're going to review. We're going to look back on Christmas. We're also going to look forward to January, the worst month of the year, both from an actual point of view and a football transfer window point of view. I bloody hate the January transfer window. But before we get into all of that, let's introduce the boys. Andy Warren, January, Christmas. How the bloody hell are you?
January, Christmas. Yeah, I'm all right. Solid. Solid and unspectacular.
January's shy though, isn't it? January's shit.
It's not that bad.
It's dreadful. It's cold. No one's got any money. It's miserable. Christmas is over. You can't.
I've got loads of money.
You can't eat sausage rolls for breakfast. You can't crack open a sherry at 11 a.m. It's just not acceptable anymore. Which I miss. Yeah, and the transfer window January I also hate.
Cheer up, mate. it's gonna be all right. Don't worry. We'll get through it together.
Nice. I like that. I needed that. Rossi, how do you feel about January?
Happy New Year, first of all. Happy New Year to all the listeners and your boys. Yeah, right. The weather's rubbish anyway, so it continues in January. But it's the start of like a new year, new me, but that finishes. Oh, wow, it's already stopped. You know, I already buggered that up in 3 days. So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to ask this question. I already know the answer. New Year's resolutions. Andy, do you make any?
No, I don't.
Of course you don't. Roscoe, do you make any?
No, but somewhat in terms of, like, in my head, I'm like, I want to do this, but it's probably not going to happen. Like driving test, obviously everyone, that's on everyone's list this year. It just on their personal one.
It's not on mine, mate.
No, well, I'm sure in your head though, you're like, come on, Ross, you can do it.
Can we have it though, Ross? So, I mean, it's too easy. It's two things to tick off. Get that theory test done. Boom.
Yeah, that.
Pass the driving test. Surely you've got 12 months to do that. Town get promoted as well. What a wonderful year for us all.
Oh, what a wonderful year. Yeah, hopefully that will be the case. Oh, someone's coming in my door. Oh.
Someone's breaking in. Is this someone deliver a tea? What's going on?
No, that was my girlfriend. I think she didn't realise I was doing a call.
Make sure she knows what you're doing, Ross. Tell her to get out. No. Anyway, friends, I'll digress. Happy New Year. Hope you had a great Christmas. Let's kick on, shall we, with football. Let's first look back before we look forward. We have to start, of course, with the most recent game. Yesterday, Ipswich Town travelled to the mighty Imps of Lincoln, a side unbeaten in the league all season, despite their lowly position. And they returned, Andy, with a draw, which on the face of it, given they played 10 men for most of the game, half of the game, isn't the best result. What was it like being there? What do you make of it? Kick us off.
Yeah, just disappointing, isn't it? It's a missed opportunity. An hour of football, if you add in both sets of stoppage time at the end of the first half and then 9 minutes at the end of the second, an hour of football against 10 men. Ipswich, the dominant team, couldn't make it count and actually had to rescue a point in the end. So a disappointing start to the year and an opportunity missed.
Let's start with the elephant in the room, shall we? While Hutchie has a bit of a cough. Town were on top, and then Lincoln took the lead through a penalty because of, and I quote, inappropriate marking. Now, I've watched the incident several times. People just fall over in the box. It happens in every single game. What did you make of it? It's almost impossible to say whether it was a penalty or not, because you can't say who the penalty was awarded against or indeed what the offence was.
Yeah, that inappropriate marking. That doesn't just,
it doesn't just reminds sound like me, you know that old picture of back in the day of Vinnie Jones with Gazza, where he's got his nuts in his hand. That's inappropriate marking for me. Mm. I'm not sure that's what happened here.
Well, maybe it is. This is why we need to hear from referees after games. Inappropriate marking. And I think any, really, realistically, like any corner that you're talking about, a penalty being given away is going to be a controversial one, because Kieran McKenna's right. He said at the end of the game, you see that in every penalty area, for every corner that's put into a box, every free kick that's put into a box, there is some kind of pushing, shoving, jostling, Vinnie Jonesery on with his hands. It happens at every single corner. I think you're always going to feel aggrieved when you have a penalty given against you for that. And Ipswich were in this one. It's hard to say. I'm going to cough again. So bear with me.
He's very polite, isn't he? So polite. Now he's having a drink. Bear with us, listeners. Hutchie's going to finish this. Oh, has he got it? There we go. That shifted it. There we go.
Have you ever thought of going into commentary, Mark? You've never mentioned the desire to commentate on anything. You did a good job there. Sorry about that. Inappropriate marking doesn't sound like a football term. And I can see why you would come away from that feeling incredibly aggrieved for giving away, especially when you factor in maybe you're feeling that the referee's trying to even something up following a first half red card. You're feeling aggrieved about penalty records anyway, which we know Kieran McKenna is. And also, you're feeling aggrieved because actually that was the only way that Lincoln were going to score a goal in this game, really, because one shot on target, I think they had in the game. They've scored one goal and it's ultimately made a game I'm sure Ipswich would have won had that penalty not gone in. But as a caveat to that, there were plenty of warning signs in this game. The referee was very hot on corners and free kicks in both boxes, in both halves. There were warnings. So maybe it was just pushed that one too far, and it was Ipswich that were pinged for it. All that being said, though, I can completely understand why you'd come away feeling horribly aggrieved by it.
Mm. Rossi, we'll give Hutchie a little bit of time off the mic so he can have a good old cough. You were pitch side. Did you have any particular view of the penalty? I suppose you're down the other end, were you? Or...
Yeah, I was on the side, the other end, but like you see that all the time, don't you, in boxes? You know, sometimes referee does stop the corner because there's, you know, a lot of tussling. You know, we had that as well when we could have had maybe a penalty at some stage when, you know, our players were getting brought down and there's, loads of pitches out there. Like, you know, Wes Burns going for a header and then I think, I don't know which defender was on the floor. It's like, you know, like those sort of things. You can get a penalty at any point. But from where I was sitting, I couldn't really see it. And when I heard there was a penalty, I thought, okay, this is okay. And I've of course seen watched it back and I'm like, yeah. But I think the ref weren't too bad in terms of other decisions during the game. You know, that was definitely a red card for Jackson. Of course, we'll get onto that, I'm sure. And then, you know, booking the goalie for time wasting, which was good to see. Lincoln, bloody Lincoln. Ever since the FA Cup, bloody Lincoln.
They're a tough nut to crack. Shall we discuss that other major incident in the game then, Hutchie, before we get on to the goals and stuff? As you described it, and friends, if you've not watched Stewie and Hutchie's little review, go back and watch it, because this time I think you were kicked out early, weren't you? Or earlier than you expected, which meant you couldn't do your reaction bit at the ground. So you actually ended up filming it at Peterborough Services, which is definitely worth a view. And you broke into a part of the services that was actually closed, so you could film kind of in relative quiet. But you described it as Jackson on Jackson crime, which I thought was wonderful stuff, Hutchie. The red card.
I'm glad you like. Do you want the full story of how we ended up in Peterborough Services? So we were kicked out of the ground earlier than we might have been, so we couldn't do it there. Got outside. It was dark, completely dark. Couldn't film it there. Intended to film it in the car, but we were intercepted on our way back to the car. We were intercepted by a steward who actually led us through the grounds of a police station to take a shortcut back to the car park so that he could lock it. We were meant to walk like all, you have to go all the way out and round by a track by the side of the river. We were led through the police station. Then we'd intended to film it in the car. Couldn't do that because otherwise we'd be locked in a primary school, which is not where I wanted to be overnight with Stuart Watson. Would remind me of that Sopranos episode where they're out in the forest and they're just eating ketchup.
That's the great digression. That is the single greatest TV episode of all time, Pine Barrens.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable TV. And that is the single best thing that's ever been committed to film in a dramatic TV series there's ever been. Anyway, Hutchie, sorry.
They eat ketchup in that. We would have been eating my daughter's half-drunk fruit shoot. We'd have been able to share that and a box of pepper and a box of a Peppa Pig branded box of raisins. Because we drove my car to Lincoln because we got to work on that. I got to work at 9 o'clock in the morning and the pool car battery was flat, so no Honda Jazz. And then we ended up driving to Peterborough Services. This is a ridiculously long story to discuss how we ended up filming a video in the upstairs mezzanine level of Peterborough Services in front of a Christmas tree. But yeah, what was your original question? Sorry,
I love the way that you just, these faces, and I'm pointing at my face, but what she'll be doing is pointing at your face and Stewie's. Access all areas with those faces, isn't it? So you just go where you want. Let close. Nah, we're going to go in and record this. But this is a very long way of getting to the red card incident, Hutchie.
Jackson, obviously, the obvious route. Jackson on Jackson crime. Yeah. Ipswich's tactic for much of this game, when they play Caden Jackson up front, what they want to do is play him in behind. Of course they do. That's his strength. That those are his attributes. Sam Morsey in particular, and Marcus Harness as well, to be fair, every time they got the ball, trying to pop it through to him. Morsey on this occasion, a little pop through that takes a flick, deflection on the way through, and that puts it really in Jackson's favour because it puts it the other side of the defender and means the defender's the wrong side. Caden's quicker, obviously. Gets the ball and he's dragged down. Was he the last man? You could argue not. There's a covering defender there, which is, I think, why Mark Kennedy and Lincoln will be disappointed. They are disappointed with that. But it's not all about a last man. It's about whether it's denied a clear goal scoring opportunity. And for me, it did. There was a chance for Caden Jackson to have a clean, clear shot on the Lincoln goal. From the edge of the penalty area or a couple of feet inside if he'd managed to take a good touch. So, for me, I'm okay with that. I think that was the right decision. But it gave Ipswich such a platform to go on and win this game from because what Ipswich are so good at doing against 11 men and what kind of Kieran McKenna's systems and schemes have been so proficient at doing over the last year is making it look like Ipswich have the extra man in certain situations. And that's against 11 men. They actually did have the extra man in this. And the real disappointment for me is that for much of the hour that came after, it didn't feel like that. It didn't feel like Town were playing against 10 men. We know the dynamic changes in football when teams are down to 10 men. It makes them pack in even more than they originally were. It changes what Lincoln are doing. And the work rate, we know the work rate goes up from the remaining nine outfield players. But even with all of that, I would have hoped that a really good football team, because Kieran McKenna's Ipswich team are a really, really good team. And I'd have hoped that they would have exploited that more than they were able to, sadly.
What did you make of it watching on, Rossi? Would you agree with that? I think in terms of Town not being able to create like they normally would.
Yeah, of course, you know, we know Lincoln's game plan. We know that when we played at Porton Road and they were going to add to that when they had the 10 men. But as Sachi said, it didn't look like 11v10 out there, you know. And I just, I wasn't... Like, the second half was dreadful. It was a dreadful second half. And, I did think we should have done better with the extra bot man. But we just couldn't, you know. To go behind, you know, because we know the penalty... And I thought, okay, this is going to be... To get an equaliser would be, you know... I just couldn't believe we actually got the equaliser in the end. But, yeah, just with the quality players we have, you just think we should be, you know, beating these teams. But I mean, we know Lincoln's game plan. But yeah, it was a bit disappointing not to go in front and then win the game from there, but that wasn't the case.
But they showed again, and obviously as at Portsmouth, when they were twice behind, they showed again the resilience and kind of mental strength that has been lacking, let's be honest, in Ipswich Town teams of recent times. They came back and they got the equaliser, Hutchie, through two subs. I think Connor Chapman on the bench because of illness. Is that correct? And obviously, Humphrey's now a backup, really, with the return of Lee Evans. It was a beautiful bit of play.
Yeah, and you're right. I think you do need to make sure there's some credit goes for the way they did find the equaliser, because it was an off day for Ipswich. They didn't do what they needed to do, but they've got quality and they can produce. And it was a really, really nice ball in from Chaplin, who I thought was really good when he came on, and a good finish from Humphreys there to at least come away with a point, because to come away having lost two games to Lincoln in a season where they kind of outshot Lincoln by 12 times. I think if you look over the piece of the two games, they had 12 times the amount of shots and lost it 2-1 on aggregate. If you add the two games together, to have come out with two defeats would have been dreadful, really, given the dominance and what they'd produced in those games. So they did at least come up with the equaliser and kind of have to go away and lick their wounds now.
Also on the positive tip, set pieces, they continue to be a threat from those, don't they? Was that nice, well-worked, especially corners seems to be, well-worked corner. I think it was Morsey that took the corner, wasn't it? And then Lee Evans met it wide open, as they say in American football, but just shot wide.
Yeah, as we saw Sam Morsey kind of trudging over towards the corner, I said to Sue, have we ever seen Sam Morsey take a corner before? It's like, no. And I think we instantly knew that something was coming. We then started to look, where's Lee Evans? Why isn't he taking this? And he's all of a sudden in a good 4 or 5 feet of open space on the, if not more, 5 metres probably actually on the edge of the box. So close. Another one as well that ultimately leads to Luke Wolfenden thumping the ball off the underside of the bar with a ridiculous amount of power that was a couple of inches away from doing the business. So.
Do we know, in terms of conversation around this game, the changes that McKenna made? We know Leif Davis is ill. We know there's been sickness sweeping through the camp. Chaplin's also not fit to start. Danasian came off ill. Ladapo ill as well? Was that the reason that he was on the bench, you think? Or
no? I don't know for sure. I think everybody's been ill, basically. Yeah. So that's a factor in everything here. And an important point to make about this game is that it comes with the backdrop of a week of illness that Kieran McKenna talks about having never really experienced before, in terms of the amount of players and the amount of illness that there was. He said that if he'd fielded fit players, he'd have only had a three-man team. In terms of illness, so that is an important point to make about the game. Freddie Ladapo, I don't think wasn't highlighted after the game as being an especially ill member of the squad, but we've been used to that striker changing on a regular basis anyway. That run that Ladapo's had in the starting 11 of late is the longest that I think it was only three successive starts, possibly four. I'll have to check that. I'm not going to do that now, but it was a run of starts that he'd not had before. Going into this one, that striker changes very regularly, so that could well have been part of the game plan anyway.
Just by way of rounding off this chat then, Rossi, your boy Greg Lee came in at left back for Leif Davis. There were a couple of other changes, obviously Jackson we talked about. What did you make of the performance of players? Did anyone stand out for you as either good or bad in this game?
I think most players were pretty average, to be honest. I think I haven't read Andy's match rating. Sorry, Andy. I'm sorry. I'll make sure to read them later. But I'm sure you're probably given most of them sixes, maybe sevens, maybe possibly fives, maybe.
I think off the top of my head.
What do you give them? If you've not read them, why don't you chuck some around? There's no monopoly here on ratings for me.
Let's just give them all sixes. Yeah. Let's just because they're all average, weren't they? No one really stood out for me, to be honest. Sixes.
I think I was pretty close to what you actually did, wasn't it, Hutch? Off the top of my head, I remember you gave Chaplin and Humphreys sevens. Clearly, they were off the bench. But I think everyone else got six, didn't they?
There were quite a few fives. Peek behind the curtain. You get the first run of the ratings, Mark, because we need them for the deadline. The ones that go online, sometimes a little bit different.
Are they?
So you get to see a draft of those ratings that actually nobody else, unless you buy the newspaper, No one does that anymore.
Sadly.
Well, sometimes you get a slightly different set. Not always, but a few fives, some sixes, and yeah, I thought Chaplin and Humphreys off. I thought Shawny Aluko had a good game as well. Actually, he was a seven, but yeah, not much else.
Okay. Without going too much further into the game, I was interested with Kieran McKenna's reaction after the game. We know that McKenna is a calm, much like yourself, Archie, a calm individual. Doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. But in terms of his comments after the game, watching the video that Town put out anyway, I don't know if he was any different with you boys, but the exasperation, the frustration, the comment that it's going to be so hard to get out of this league. It's so hard to be Ipswich Town in this league. I thought were really interesting.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've seen that the Town video. I've not watched all of it, but I gather it's similar to what he said to us, which is a couple of minutes later. I've seen it kind of clipped up and used in right kind of short form by fans from other clubs and things over the last few days. If you take some of the lines in there out of context, it doesn't always sound great, but if you always with McKenna, you need to listen to the full rounded kind of discussion about it. And if you do that, he's talking about how difficult it's going to be and how big a challenge it is to get an Ipswich Town team out of this division. And look, he's right. Like look at Sunderland. It took them four goes to get out of this league. Ipswich have not even been close to getting out of League One until now, hopefully. Got to remember, we're taking an Ipswich team that finished 11th last season, and we now have standards set around winning the league and coming second. It's an almighty challenge. Days like yesterday won't help that. But I think ultimately, I think we can all see, despite the disappointments of the last few days, we can all see that there's a team that's built on something a lot more solid and a lot more long lasting than what we've seen in the past. And I think McKenna's just kind of vocalizing this, the task at hand, that it's not going to be a cakewalk. And I think from prior experience, we all knew that. So it's, I think it's fine. I quite enjoyed hearing what he said yesterday. Maybe a little bit of realism as a new year starts, that it's not going to be easy, but I think they're capable of achieving it.
Any other notes from the game? Because I want to move on to talk about the overall picture, the Christmas period, how full or empty or otherwise is your Ipswich Town glass. Is there anything else from the game you particularly want to mention?
Going back to the players, and Andy's already mentioned it. Shawny Aluko had a really good 60 minutes in the first half. Some very good skills from him. I was right in front of a few nutmegs, which was great. I'm sure you can clip those up, for skill score, whatever Sock M does now. What a classy player. We know this already, but I just wanted to give him a special mention because I was impressed by him once again.
Are you highlighting him just because you said he was going to be MVP before the start of the season? Is that why?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah, but good plan.
Anything else to mention, Hutchie?
Nothing from me.
Okay. Sorry,
one more thing. Kieran McKenna didn't wear like his normal sort of attire. He was actually wearing an Ipswich Town jacket for a change, which was sort of interesting. I don't know if...
Maybe he got it for Christmas.
Maybe, yeah, true. I know a lot of people got Ipswich Town coats for Christmas. Maybe the other ones in the wash, maybe, and he just didn't have enough time to...
Maybe his gran bought it for him for Christmas and he's got to wear it just to show willing. I don't know. Right then, friends. So there was a 1-1 draw yesterday. Let's talk about the whole picture over Christmas and beyond. Of the Christmas games, the key Christmas run, Ipswich Town 1-1, drew 2. They beat Oxford 3-0 on Boxing Day, then drew 2-2 at Pompey, twice coming from behind, and then obviously drew 1-1 yesterday. So 5 points from 9. They're out of the top two for the first time in bloody ages. And it very much looks like a 3-2 race, doesn't it, for the top two as it stands. And in terms of kind of form, they've taken 14 points from the last 27, which isn't great. And I think in the form table, in the last 10 games, they're sixth in the table. So, Hutchie, how full or empty is your Ipswich Town glass? I know you said there that you're still feeling good about things, but they could be better also.
Yeah, they could be better. I think I'd I'd sum up the Christmas period the same way that I'd sum up the Lincoln game as being a missed opportunity, really. Mm. Given the Lincoln game, obviously we've discussed at length, Portsmouth feels increasingly like a missed opportunity. Similar vibe, really, in that you have to give them credit for coming from behind twice to take a point at a difficult venue to play at, but against a team that's desperately searching for a win. They still haven't found it. They now have no manager, with Danny Cowley being fired. So an increasingly missed opportunity.
Oh, Hutchie's coughing again. There we go.
Old sick note over here. So, yeah, missed opportunities, but it's okay. You're going to have to talk to someone else for a second.
Okay. Rossi, I mentioned there that they're outside of the top two for the first time in a while. I think we can safely say that barring a complete and utter collapse, the likes of which we've not seen for a while, Town are going to be in the top six this season, can't we? Can we say that?
No, I'll change my mind, boys. I'm sorry to say. Yeah, they bottle it. No top six, another season in League One. No, it's no panic, you know.
Yeah.
There's always a blip in a season, isn't it? And if you think about it, in the last, how many games is it? We haven't lost many, have we? We're just, you know, the Wickham game. But of course we've drawn a few. There's been maybe some performances that maybe have been below par to what we're, you know, been used to. But I'm not panicking, you know. Third, okay. My only one problem is we're not maybe making a statement against the side. You know, Oxford, yeah, okay, we'd beat them 3-0. But like Sheffield Wednesday beat Cambridge 5-0. Plymouth have been winning and stuff like that. But yeah, I know there's a few people in the WhatsApp group on KOA and some people are like getting a bit worried already. But I go, no, calm down. You know, we're okay. But yeah, to be out of top two is sad. But we'll be back in there very soon.
That's what you're saying. Here's my point, you see. Obviously, you have to say that Town are going to finish in top six. So they're going to be in the playoffs. But we don't want the playoffs, do we? We want top two. And it looks like it's going to be 3-2, doesn't it? That kind of top three separating themselves from the pack. And the obvious thing as an Ipswich Town fan, when you see those stats, you see those numbers, 3-2, you think, oh, here we go again. we're going to end up on the outside looking in. We're going to be third. Hutchie, have you recovered enough to talk?
I have. For now, I'm hoping a little bit of chocolate orange is going to see me through this next segment.
Hey, segment! I see what you've done there.
See what I've done? You like that?
Yeah.
I think it's easy to reach for negatives, and it's natural after the last two games to be feeling more negative about the team than you were after the Boxing Day game, which was great. The way they came on strong in that one and put that one away was really, really, really good. That's what we wanted to see. But you consider a lot of things through these games. It's two draws where they've come from behind, away from home. Yes, there are circumstances around both where you'd want them to have won the game.
Yeah.
But when you factor in the fact that the whole squad has been hit by illness for over a week, and they've still dug deep to take these points. I think all three of Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth and Ipswich, I want to say, have all gone to Lincoln and all drawn 1-1 this season. They're really good at home. Like you said, right at the start of the podcast, they're unbeaten at home. And that includes playing all of these teams, and Ipswich have just followed suit there in taking a point. Ipswich have still got both Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth to play at home. It's obvious, it's natural to feel a bit of a wobble. And what I think it's really done is highlighted a need to strengthen and give this squad, in the words of Paul Lambert, a little bit of help in the January window, which is what they're going to be able to do and what they're going to be striving to do. So all things considered, it's a bit of a wobble, but I don't know. There's just something about this team that I've got, and the way it's coached, the way it's managed, the way it's led from the top, that there's something inbuilt that I just feel confident that there's going to be no stone unturned to get it right. There'll be better days ahead. And just, I think if you just factor in, I think the illness side of things is a bigger factor here than we've really considered and were allowed to and given sort of reason to consider. But they're not, there's no excuses at Ipswich Town. They're not the kind of team. They're not the, Kieran McKenna's not the kind of manager that just makes excuses. But that illness sounds like it's been a considerable blow for players to have to come off at half time because they're sick isn't great. And they've got through it. And I think ultimately that's okay.
It's nice. Can I just say, Hutchie, that as a thoroughly kind of involved journalist and your approach, you've infected yourself with the same illness just to kind of research how it affects you. And you can then give a voice from a point of experience.
Well, this is it. Have I given you my best in this podcast? No, I haven't. Am I still here? Yeah,
exactly. If it was a football game, would you have had to come off at half time?
I headed to the sidelines a couple of times for a drink and a bit of chocolate orange, like all good footballers do.
Absolutely, bit of sugar.
Half-time chocolate orange, but I'm still going, and I might have conceded on occasion, but I hope I've got enough to come from behind and take something from this podcast, and that's what I'm looking to do now.
I hope so, because we need a big second half from you. There's a lot still to talk about. It's also nice when we talk about this whole picture, isn't it, that we're talking about wobbles and slight concerns, and we're talking about that with Ipswich Town third in the table, which is, compared to previous seasons, you know, that would have been a lovely problem to have, wouldn't it? And now we're sitting here saying, well, they're going to be in the playoffs, whatever. It's just whether or not they get automatic. Tremendous. One final question, Hutchie, by way of segueing out of this. Ipswich Town now don't have a league game until a huge, massive, monumental home clash with Plymouth Saturday after next. They've got the FA Cup this weekend. Is that a good or a bad thing, do you think? Would you rather be going headfirst into that game now, or would you quite like to have a little cup game where you can rest a few players and maybe sort this illness out?
Yeah, the latter. The latter of those things. I think we'll see plenty of change for the cup game. I think given everything that Ipswich have kind of faced over the last week and beyond, I think actually that little week's buffer will do them the world of good. It's a massive game at home to Plymouth, of course it is. It's a game that should suit Ipswich a lot more than trips to Lincoln and Wickham and things like that. It should be a really good game. And I think the fact it's 11 days away is a positive.
What an occasion that's going to be. You mentioned it just there in passing, but we should also mention, by way of news, Roscoe, that Portsmouth have sacked Danny Cowley. So a side that were expected to be promotion rivals this season, obviously not really. They started like gangbusters and then they've completely fallen away since the end of October. Cowley's gone, having had the dreaded backing of the board just before Christmas. What do you make of that? Pompey, there's this rivalry now, isn't there, between Town and Pompey? There's a lot of heat between them. Are you not sad to see Cowley go?
Not surprised, to be honest. Not surprised. I think if we did beat them, you know, heavily at Fratton Park, I'm sure he would have gone straight away after that one. I'm sure that would have been the evening of. I'm sure Andy and Cole will be writing Cowley gone, but it took a few more days. But not surprised, you know, with the position they're in, and you know, they've made a few signings, didn't they? I know we were Chetbrook FC, they were calling us, but they made, you know, signings like Corey Bishop, Dane Scarlett and the like. But not surprised, and you know, it won't be the first. I'm sure there'll be other sackings, I'm sure, along the way. But yeah, see that Danny and Co's at Nick, is his brother, Nick Cowley. So yeah, I'm sure a lot of Town fans are not sad to see that go. I'm sure they're very happy when they saw that.
I see Liam Richardson is the current leader in the favourites race. And you look at Pompey, I mean, obviously they're down in 12th and then they're 9 points off the playoffs. But if someone can come in and get them moving, they do still have three games in hand and a lot of the sides in the table. So it may not be the end of Pompey's season, Hutchie, which I guess is why they're thinking, make a move now.
Yeah, that's why you make a move, isn't it? You make a move when there's still life in the season. Like Ross said, inevitable. They haven't won a league game since the middle of October. So those aren't the kind of runs that you can really survive if you're a manager of a club with genuine promotion ambitions. But yeah, I'm sure Pompey will still be some kind of factor in this season from this point here.
Right then, Hutchie, I hope you've had a little bit of recovery time there. You've boffed another segment of chocolate orange, because this second half of the podcast is going to be largely led by you. January transfer window. No Roscoe, you stay there. Just saying, probably going to be Hutchie led this second part, right? So January transfer window, we're now in January, the worst month of the year. Also, definitely the worst transfer window as far as I'm concerned. But it is going to be huge for Town. It's this classic situation that Town are in third. McKenna and everyone saying that they need to recruit well in January. It could be the thing that gets them over the line. So let's talk about that now, Hutchie. You wrote a piece last week around what you think they need in January. And I know people want to hear names. So we're going to throw some names in there as well. And to kick us off, you started with a little update this morning, your January transfer business, as it were, on Jack Taylor and Morgan Whittaker. Do you want to bring us up to speed on those two?
Yeah, Jack Taylor and Morgan Whittaker, two players of interest for Ipswich. I think you'll find a lot of players are of interest to Ipswich because of the way they work and the amount of ground that's covered in the world of recruitment. It's very thorough, and it would be a surprise if players like this weren't of interest. But Jack Taylor is one they looked at. We reported all the way back in the middle of May that he was one that they were keen on. That remains the case. There's been contact this month, in December, leading up to the window about his potential future and what could be done with Peterborough for them. That one is ongoing, and I think it will depend on Peterborough's willingness and openness to doing something there and what the price is. It's not going to be a cheap one, but a good player, a good all-round midfielder, ball carrier at times, could add a dimension or two to an Ipswich midfield. And then Morgan Whittaker, we know on loan at Plymouth from Swansea, has been a player that's been heavily discussed by a lot of people in the last 48 hours or so. Ipswich have an interest there, nothing active and ongoing at the moment. But I think there is something active and ongoing with Whittaker in general at the moment. And in the next 48 hours, there's every chance kind of his future will be a lot more clear, in that Russell Martin, the Swansea manager, is talking about whether the real possibility of him being recalled from Plymouth to Swansea. Once he gets back to Swansea, if that happens, he'll find an incredible amount of traffic for his attacking midfield position. So the chances of him playing, in Russell Martin's own words as well, are few. Martin talks about the Swansea ownership having their own thoughts, their own opinions on what might happen next with him. And that's sort of veiled comments pointing towards a potential sale or move somewhere else. Ipswich, interest in that for sure, if that scenario happened, but they're by far the only ones led to believe there's plenty of Championship interest in him full-time, and even interest from the Premier League, the lower end of the Premier League, in Morgan Whittaker. So all in all, it kind of adds up to something that's incredibly unlikely for Ipswich. But if there's something that can be looked at there, I'm sure it's something they will go for, because he's a very good player.
I know in the piece you've done this morning, you said that you understand the player himself is keen to remain at Plymouth for the rest of the season. So
yeah, very, very much so. Very much keen for that to happen. So we'll see. You never know. There might even be a scenario where one of those Premier League moves happens and he still stays on loan at Plymouth, but just from somebody else rather than Swansea. Who knows? Complicated one.
Okay, what I'll do, as I say, people love to hear names, and that's obviously expected and natural. So I'll read out some names so far, Hutchie, that have been linked with Town, either by ourselves or others, and you can just pick what you want out of there, and we can talk about it. So obviously, Johnson Clark Harris has been linked with Town a lot. I see he's apparently been watched by Sunderland, the report's saying this morning, so maybe Championship move there for him. We've talked about Jack Taylor, Malcolm Ebuwe, Crystal Palace, and also Jesser and Raksaki from Crystal Palace, both linked to Town. Whittaker, you've mentioned there, and also obviously Massimo Luongo, who we know was with the club and training with them. So those are the kind of six names that have been linked so far. What do you want to pick out of those?
Let's start with Luongo, shall we? Because he has been with Ipswich, training with Ipswich, contracted to Middlesbrough for now. That changes soon. It's one they can do if they want to, I would imagine. But the kind of the indication is there that it's still being considered. It's not kind of a he's here and then will become an Ipswich player on this date. But I think he's clearly an option, isn't he? He's been down in Suffolk training here and would bring something to the midfield. So that's kind of a wait and see kind of thing. Kieran McKenna will do his pre-match press conference ahead of the Rotherham game on Friday, I would imagine, and that will be a question for him then. If nothing's happened by then, but yeah, he's there and an option for sure.
Clark Harris is a name that has been linked a lot. Clearly, he's League One's top scorer, guaranteed goals in this division. Everything you hear around town is we need a striker. We've got to have a striker. We need someone who can score loads of goals, which obviously every team wants, especially in January as you push towards promotion. He's been linked with all sorts of moves. As I say, Sunderland this morning. Darren McAnthony has said on Twitter it's not happening in terms of him going to town. Do you think that's an unlikely one, Hutchie?
Well, it's not one they've moved for as of yet. No, it's not. He's a player that obviously they're well aware of. I don't think Darren McAnthony saying no, a one-word tweet, no on Twitter means an awful lot. I think his Twitter account is... I'm delighted that I don't cover Peterborough United, if I'm honest. That would be an absolute chaos. Could somebody sign him? Of course they could. It could come. I don't know what the money would be. It would be obviously a significant fee. Would he entertain a move? Possibly, yeah. But as things stand, it's not one that Ipswich have made any actual move to do. So it's a long window. You never know. But as
things stand, a marathon, not a sprint. The window, yeah. Sadly. Roscoe, let's bring you in now. So we talked there about six players have been linked with Town to varying degrees of excitement. What, any of those tickle your fancy? What do you think Town need in January?
All of the players, all of them. No.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? People want all of them. Town could sign six players and people would want nine players in January. It's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah. Once again, it needs to be the right players. I don't want players for the sake of players, because that can happen. It did happen under Paul Cook, of course, summer transfer window. But we know, that can we do the Marcus Stewart style signing, from 2000? And we don't want to do the 2015 transfer window, on the Marcus Evans signing only Freddie Sears and a few loan players. They need to be the right players. I like Morgan Wickata, obviously. I like him because he's played against us, played well against us, played well for Plymouth this year. But, don't think that's going to happen, but you never know. But I think, there's a few positions we need to improve on. Of course, the striker debate is an interesting one. I think we do need another striker just to add to what we've already got. And then, maybe another centre mid. And then some people may be talking about defence. We're not been... we've been conceding goals recently, but I'm still happy with our defence. But it is an interesting one at January. We know this. We hate this window. Deals. I'm sure other clubs are going to be like, yeah, we want millions, But I'm sure we can trust Mark Ashton and Co. I'm sure they've been working hard. But yeah, we shall wait and see.
Actually, I said you've already written something around January. Do you want to just reprise for people who've not read it, and if you haven't, why not? And I think anyone would think it'd been Christmas or so for the last week. Do you want to reprise what you think Town need in terms of realistically what they might bring in this window? It's a hard one, isn't it, January, to bring in quality for a start, or at least good value quality?
Yeah, it's a very difficult window. And I think there's always an appreciation that teams in Ipswich's position need to do something significant in January, but they would always rather not have to. But Ipswich will do something in this window. I think they need four things. I think we've been talking about whether they need a striker for months, and consistently, yes, they do. Not necessarily a knock on Freddie Ladapo, but they need a striker for sure. I think they need another attacking player. When Mark Ashton talks about having no regrets and leaving no stone unturned during the January window, at kind of attacking midfield feels like that position to me, where that would be kind of the reaction to it, because in terms of numbers, they've got enough players to fill those roles. is that there a slight danger of bloating things in there? Maybe. But if you're going to have no regrets and leave no stone unturned, I'd be looking at something in the attacking midfield position. What has become very clear, I think, over the last few days, and yesterday was another example of this, is that Connor Chaplin, obviously yesterday was ill. Connor Chaplin needs to be starting for Ipswich with the current configuration. He's vital for me. He needs to be starting every game to give Ipswich real threat. A central midfielder, I think they need. Dominic Ball not being around is a big one. Cameron Humphreys has done incredibly well, but they're asking an awful lot of him. I don't think it was ideal at all that he was playing seven consecutive starts in there with Sam Morsi. Only one injury away from having to do that again. And I don't think that's fair or right for Cameron's development. An incredibly gifted young player who will have a big future, I'm sure, but I'm not sure he was envisaged being this heavily relied upon. So another midfielder in there that could be Luongo, could be Taylor, could be somebody else. And then the fourth position I put in there was a right back, a defender, right-sided defender. A lot's asked of Genoi Donassian, and when he's not there, Ipswich really missed something on that right side. Kane Vincent-Young's the deputy, but I think when Donassian's not around, something's missing. Some solidity is missing. So a right-sided, sort of a right back, right wing back kind of player would be what I'd be looking for.
And do you think it's essential, Andy, that Town make a splash and a big signing, as it were, in this window? That's obviously what fans want. That's always what fans want. Well, we've got so-and-so. And someone like a Johnson Clark Harris, I suppose, would be a big signing, or certainly Whittaker. But do you think it's important they do that? Or is it?
No, they need to make an impact. The players need to make it. But you don't have to be the big bucks mega money signing to make an impact. Look at some of the players that they've brought in under Mark Ashton. Like, Lee Evans was a free transfer, made a big impact. Wes Burns was, what, £150,000, something like that, from Fleetwood Town. Massive impact in his first season. Significant fees and significant wages, obviously, have gone on people like Chaplin, Morsi, Walton, but none of them felt like kind of flash show signings, and they've kind of built into a team that's biggest strength is being not a team with a star in it. It's a team that's got some very good parts but combines to be greater than the sum of their parts, and I think they need players that are going to fit into that and elevate that in the way that the team's been built, because if you suddenly go flash, you can change a dynamic of a team. Now, that's not to say that you know that piece, it might be Johnson Clark Harris, I don't know. He's League One's top scorer. You'd have to pay for him. You'd have to pay more than Ipswich have paid for anybody in the game changer era to sign someone like that. But it might just be what they need. I don't know. There's no indication he is the one that they're going to move for at all. But it might just be that. But it's not just going out and buying names and flash for the sake of things. I don't know. Would you be doing that just to make sure fans are excited and enthused by it? I don't know. But I think there's enough kind of trust in the recruitment process here to be able to trust them to get it right, I'd hope.
Right then, before we move on, Rossi, I want to throw one more name at you. It's not a guy that's been linked directly with Town, but we did a story about him. A former League One Golden Boot is going to be available in January. Formerly of this parish, Jack Marriott. One of our most read stories of last month was the fact he'd been told he can leave Peterborough. Almost overwhelmingly, the response on social media was no thanks. And clearly he wouldn't be the big splash signing that we talked about there. But any argument there in maybe looking at someone like Marriott? He's been prolific at this level.
He has been. You know, while you were talking, I quickly just did some research on him because I can't believe he's only 28. He's still only 28, which is, he's been around the block for a while. And of course, as you said, he has scored at this level. Just seen he scored 7 goals this season in all competitions for Peterborough. His last game against for Peterborough was against us, of course. No thanks. I wouldn't say he's not a bad player. I think he's a decent player at this level, but I don't think he's probably the right man for us.
He's not. He wouldn't be the signing, would he?
No, he wouldn't be. But he's not a bad player. But no, not for me.
Yeah, signing someone like Marriott feels like the old days at Town. Kind of less. Do you know what I mean, Hutchie? When they used to bring in people who maybe were available but weren't.
Sign Connor Wickham. That's the cry. Yeah.
Used to be. He's having a great time, is he, at Forest Green? Hutchie, Marriott? That's a no, isn't it?
I wouldn't have thought so, no. He'll be considered. They're all considered. They all get run through the process. But I don't think that process will come out with him being the one.
Okay. Right then, that's potential ins. Let's draw a line under that. Obviously, that's the most sexy and exciting bit. How about potential outs, Hutchie? Because in terms of bringing players in, they may have to get people out and deregister people as well. So people like Dominic Ball and Panucci Kamara potentially may not playing for the rest of the season. Are you expecting any exits? Matt Penny, for example, is up on loan, isn't he? He's due to come back in January. Is he the sort of person you could see moving on, for example?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if there wasn't a desire from both Motherwell and Matt Penny to make that permanent. He's done very well up there by all accounts. Doesn't with Leif Davis and Greg Lee here, there's no need or vacancy for that. So yeah, I'd imagine something will be done there, and unless something is, it won't be done quickly, because if Ipswich get to the end of the window and Leif Davis or Greg Lee suddenly suffer injuries, then you're not going to have want to have already kind of cut off your replacement. But I think Matt Penny's probably reached the end of his Ipswich career, whether it's now or at the end of the season when his contract's up.
Mm. Any other potential exits, you reckon? We're going to see any of the big boys come with a checkbook for Town stars? It's not going to happen, is it? Say it ain't so.
I don't think so. I think the core of this team have got such a desire to get promoted. I don't think there's anybody out there courting a big move. There's some really good players in that Ipswich team, but like I was just saying, it's a team that's it's not got superstars in it. It's not got star. It's a team of very good players with good attitudes who work together to be better than the sum of their pretty impressive parts. Mm. So I don't know if anybody's done. It seems really silly to say about a really good team that's third in League One and have had some brilliant performances this season. It seems really silly to say this, but I don't know if there's anybody that's done enough to sort of be screaming at the Championship saying, come and get me right now and pay the money that it would take for Ipswich to say yes, because Ipswich are in a great position now. They don't have to roll over and take the money. So it's I'd be very surprised if anybody kind of from the core of McKenna's squad is allowed to move on.
That's a really interesting point, actually, Hutchie. It's a good one. Roscoe, when you do your Meet the Oppositions and you speak to fans of opposing teams and journalists and stuff, are there particular Town players they talk about, like as kind of big, because you're aware in League One of people like Johnson Clark Harris and Morgan Whittaker, mm-hmm. you know, the stars, as it were, of other teams. Do you think that fans outside Ipswich Town are like, oh, so-and-so at Town, he's absolute flames?
Yeah, Connor Chaplin gets mentioned a lot. And of course, Sam Morsey, those sort of likes who have played at this level, have played higher, of course. But not all the time, though, if you know what I mean. It's like they are sometimes asked, oh, who should we look out for? So it's not like they're not, okay, we're second, third in the league. But as Andy said, and it is right, we've not got superstars. We've got some good players, some good quality players. I know Wes Burns, but he doesn't get talked about that often, really, by opposition fans and journalists. They know he did all right last year, but he's not always a big talking point. Sometimes the managers get talked about most, don't they? You know, sometimes they talk more about Kieran McKenna, and we're talking about Danny Cowley and co, because, you know, they're the men leading these sides. But we have got good players. I think Connor Chaplin's the main one most of the time.
Okay. Right then, friends, that brings us to the end of this podcast. Anything else to mention, boys? What was the best bit about your Christmas, Hutchie?
I got as I don't know if there's anybody in the country that got as many hours out of Christmas Day as me.
Oh, man. What time were you up?
I did the 3 a.m. till 11 p.m. shift.
You got up at 3 a.m.?
Yeah.
Was J Unit, was she up before that? Or was that the first time she got up and then you just kind of accepted it? Did you try to get back to sleep? Or
it's very hard to get them back to sleep when you've made the mistake of putting her to bed saying the next time you wake up it'll be Christmas. And she's like 4 and a half and she's of an age where she reminded me, but you said the next time I wake up it will be Christmas.
Is it ever acceptable just to give her like a couple of teaspoons of Calpol and sedate her a little bit?
I mean, she doesn't like Calpol. I love Calpol. It's really I think it's really nice. I'm into it, but she's not into being medicated to sleep. So
fair enough.
Ten not to.
And people would say it's irresponsible doing stuff like that. Anyway, Rossi, if you had a kid, you'd definitely sedate it, wouldn't you? What was the highlight of your Christmas?
Seeing family and
lame.
Yeah, you know. Just like all the food and all that. And just chilling. Just chilling. Plus working as well. We did a bit of work, didn't we? We went to Portsmouth.
You've been all over, boy. Do you know what I discovered over Christmas? We signed up to Apple TV and I've been watching Ted Lasso, which is entertaining. Are you familiar with Ted Lasso? Anything you've watched it?
I watched a bit of it, but I got tired of it quite quickly. I think I watched series one and then, not for me.
I would describe it as gentle. And I think there are the things about it that jar in that there's a lot of very unrealistic things in terms of the football angle. But the thing that annoys me most is the way they keep referring to draws as ties. Obviously, because Americans don't understand what a draw is. They have to say tie. But no one would ever say tie to reference a draw in this country, would they? A tie is a game in this country, isn't it? FA Cup tie, whatever. But I quite enjoy it. I'm sure Watson, given he hates everything American, would be rage all about it. But I quite enjoyed it. What else did I watch over Christmas? Oh, Top Gun Maverick. If you've not seen that, absolutely fantastic. Very good. And also something on Disney Plus called Bear, which is about a chef in Chicago, Michelin-starred chef who has to go and run his family's kind of sandwich shop in Chicago, which is very, very good indeed if you're looking for recommendations for the new year. And also, friends, if you're looking at recommendations, at this time when we're all carrying a few extra pounds, I put on about half a stone over Christmas, boys. You can see in my face, look, I go like a chipmunk when I put some weight on. If you want to lose some weight and shave that body hair, obviously use the code KOA at manscaped.com. It can make a big difference. You see fighters, there was a case just before Christmas, actually, a fighter needed to make weight, shaved all of his body hair and his head and made the weight. So there you go. If you're looking to drop a few pounds easily, get onto a Manscaped, yourself a body hair trimmer, or if you're really struggling, a nasal trimmer, the weed whacker, get that hair done. Use that code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery. Anything else to mention, boys? I'm rambling now.
Nothing. No other business from me.
Excellent. You sure, Roscoe? You haven't got anything else to mention?
No other business.
When's your first theory test of the year?
I'm not telling you because it'll jinx it. Anyone keeps asking that, and if I tell them and then I fail it, it's like I've got to tell them, I failed. So hopefully next time, I maybe speak to you or we do a podcast. Maybe. You never know. Not Thursday, but I'll let you know.
Okay, that's definitely a New Year's resolution for you this year, Roscoe. Get that bloody driving test. Let's start with the theory test, though, and then move on to the driving test. Hopefully by summer, you'll be independently mobile, shall we say. Also, obviously, I've mentioned Manscaped there. Also, remember to look at Ginger Pickle for all your marketing needs, social media, SEO, whatever you want. Ginger Pickle, Tony Southgate and the boys there are the people to get involved with. The GOAT of digital marketing, if that's your thing. And also, friends, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you could. We had a few of those over Christmas, which is very nice. It just helps lift our visibility in the charts. And obviously, follow us across social media, Kings of Anglia, on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. The first podcast of 2023 is in the books. We've looked back at Christmas. We've decided the Ipswich Town glass is indeed half full. We've looked ahead to January and got excited about what could be a very, very interesting window at Ipswich Town. Hopefully, friends, this could be the year. This could be the year for almost a quarter of a century, the year that we've waited for, the year that Ipswich Town finally get promoted. I'll leave you on that thought. Have a great start to the week. Have a great start to 2023. And we'll be back later in the week to look ahead to the FA Cup, which no one really cares about, let's be honest. But anyway, we'll speak to you then.